Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hello, 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 everyone out there. This is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually and physically fit. Hello, this is March, and it's National Nutrition Month, and guess what? I got another registered dietitian on tonight. Oh, he's fantastic. He has a comic book, Health Superheroes, to help talk to the teens and children about health. Oh, mothers, please be on the line. Grab your kids. You know, grab some low-calorie beverage, some graham crackers with maybe low-fat or sugar-free syrup on top, really, and maybe some low-fat little dairy cream on top of that. But we're going to talk about with nutrition with the teens, but first I'm going to go to our public service announcement.
March is National Nutrition Month. This year, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics encourages everyone to bite into a healthy lifestyle. Consuming fewer calories, making informed food choices, and getting daily exercise are key to maintaining a healthy weight, reducing your risk of chronic disease, and promoting your overall health. A registered dietitian nutritionist can help you develop a healthy lifestyle plan that is right for you. Learn more by visiting www.eatright.org.
Well, this is Renee Wiggins, and we're going to talk to Eric Paul Meredith. He is a classical trained chef, registered dietitian, and certified youth exercise specialist. Over the last 7 years, he has worked with thousands of young people and established himself as an expert in childhood health education and promotion. By focusing on youth, he hopes to change behaviors early and empower children to develop healthy lifelong habits. So let's welcome. Hello, Paul. How you doing?
I'm great, and yourself? Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on board, fellow registered dietitian of the Academy, ladies and males, because we have very few males in the Academy, and I want to thank you. But before we get on about your comic book characters, and I like the title, How a Dietitian Teams Up with the Superheroes, first tell us a little bit more about yourself, how you even got involved with nutrition.
Yeah, so, you know, I think people ask me that question, and I think it probably goes really early. My parents were a really good example. My father was a Chicago police officer, so he did a lot to stay in shape. We used to go running in the morning, biking in the evening, and did a lot, and I was a three-sport athlete. I did baseball, football, and martial arts. And then also my mom was really into healthy cooking, especially because my father was into being very, very health conscious. So it kind of started early, and I've maintained that life, you know, style throughout. And probably I got my first exposure, won't mention any brand names, but for a large food service hamburger chain, got acclimated to restaurants, and that got me really focused back on cooking. I started cooking at the age of 9. And so decided to go to culinary school and did that from 2005 through 2007 and decided to start a healthy meal delivery service for about 3 years, made ready-to-eat meals for people who were time-deprived and wanted something healthy that they can have already prepared for them. So through that experience, I found myself going out, billing myself as America's Healthiest Chef, and felt that I probably need to know a little bit more about science, the science of nutrition, because I couldn't answer all the questions and didn't know if some of the information I was reading was credible. So I decided to go back to school, close the business, and pursue my master's in nutrition. And through that, really learned a lot about the science behind nutrition, how to figure out if you're getting misinformation, what's a credible source, what's not. And so that's kind of how I ended up in the area of nutrition.
Wow, that really sounds great, because first you were a chef, which is good because, you know, we love to eat, people love to eat, and then you
right.
added the science behind it, which is good because those two go hand in hand. We have very few registered dietitians that are chefs. I mean, we do have a men practice group, and a couple of them are chefs. As a matter of fact, the guy who started the men's practice group is a chef. He started as an RD and then went to become a chef. But you've gotten involved with the teams. I mean, a youth certified youth exercise specialist. How did you get involved? How you combine the two, the chef, the dietitian, the exercise?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things I looked at was through First Lady Michelle Obama's program, Chefs Move the School. I did a lot of work in the school systems, and it really complemented my program because what I found was through evidence, the earlier you start forming healthy habits, the easier it is to maintain throughout your life. So the majority of my clients when I have my healthy meal delivery service were adults. Much harder to change behavior once they've already been formed and you've been doing certain habits over the years. Young people are in a learning environment. They're eager to get new information. Once again, the habits might not have formed yet, so I'm focusing on that preteen area, 9 to 13, when young people begin to develop lifelong habits. And getting to them early and getting them excited and engaged about health and taking care of their bodies and thinking about how choices they make may affect, you know, long-term outcomes. So that's kind of how I ended up focusing on young people. And I just love the energy they bring, and they keep me young, and that's why I love working with that group.
It is an interesting group because also as a registered dietitian, I have counseled many of, I guess, 9 to the 18-year-old, and the parents bring them. For me, working in the cities, though, the parents will come and just tell the child to go into the room, and then I'm supposed to counsel them, but I tell the parents it's a whole family affair. And sometimes they look at me and say, oh, no, it's for the child, not for me. Yet the parent themselves is well over 200 or 300 pounds, and the 12-year-old is about 200 pounds, or the 12-year-old is about 6 feet, but she's also 250. How do you also counsel the parents, or you counsel just the kids in the school?
Now, you bring up a good point. So, you know, typically the parents are making the purchasing decisions and setting the environment for the young person, whether, you know, they allow them to go out and bike and, you know, if they're less healthy snacks around the house or portion control. So you bring up a very good point that you can teach young people great habits, but parents have to support it. So the most effective programs involved some type of parental component as well, where you're teaching the young person skills. They have to get, you know, buy-in, or the parents have to also advocate for this. But you're right, if the young person is eating healthy and the rest of the family is not eating healthy, it doesn't feel very good, and it feels much more like punishment. So the parents have to be on board, and then, you know, that's the first thing to work with young people. And then the next thing is where I work for my day job. We work on the environment. So, you know, kind of outside of the household, but it starts at inside the household with the parents and the young person. And I absolutely agree that you have to work with the parents equally, if not more, because they are making the purchasing decisions and setting a healthy environment for their young person.
That is true. It's the whole entire family dynamics. You got to counsel everybody, and the parents who are listening, you too have to get involved because of the purchasing power and the cooking and preparation. I took early childhood development nutrition, and like you said, the earlier you start in helping the kids, you know, buy the food, prepare the food, they're more likely to eat the food. And I've been in a lot of new science programs where we go and visualize and, you know, look at the child, they eat. Now, let's get to this comic book, because I'm going to tell my age. I grew up with, I don't think you know, called Ebony Highlights. It was a junior Ebony book geared for kids between 9 to maybe 16 years of age. And it had a lot of cartoons and educational material, cartoon figures like, you know, stick figures mainly, not like the characters that you have. So how did you come up with this comic book? Because I'm just fascinated by it.
Yeah, well, you know, once again, through my program, I always look at why somebody is not doing something. There are a lot of great evidence-based programs in the schools and through the government. And I was, you know, kind of was trying to figure out where the gap was. So when I looked at young people, I said, well, let me speak their language and kind of meet them where they're at. So entertainment is big, and so is technology. And when I looked at entertainment, I looked at the popularity of movies like Harry Potter, Twilight, the Avengers, which were very popular, X-Men when I was growing up, which were comic books, but now they become blockbuster movies. And when I did the math, last year, 6 out of the 10 highest grossing movies were all about superheroes. But when I looked at it, I said, wouldn't it be great for young people to see themselves as superheroes, especially of the health of not only themselves, but their peers and their environment and even their parents, and say, well, let me, you know, brand it to where young people are, you know, working on young people and saving young people and saving themselves and see themselves in these situations which are very familiar. So, it's, you know, storytelling, comic books are very powerful. They say, you know, they increase comprehension, they increase engagement, they increase retention of information. Visual storytelling, a picture is worth a thousand words, is one of the cliches. So when I found that where the kind of marketplace with the popularity of superhero movies, and when I found the power of comics, when I looked at some of the evidence or some of the research that's taking place around it, I said, wow, comic books can be a really, really great avenue. And then, so not only do I teach young people about health, I teach them about culture. There's only one young person from America. The rest are from countries like, you know, India, United Arab Emirates, Brazil. So not only would they be learning about health, but they'd be learning about, you know, world culture. Also, character development. I don't come to Earth. My name is H in the book. I come from a planet called Gymnasia. I don't choose the young people to have the powers. The powers choose them. And, for example, Midas, he has ADHD, but his parents work for Doctors Without Borders, and he can't become a doctor himself, but he volunteers as much as he can to help out his parents, you know, serve these patients. So the powers choose him, and he gets the power of healing touch in his hands. So now anybody who he touches, he can heal any of their particular ailments, find out what's wrong with them and heal them. So the powers actually choose him because, once again, all of these young people have great character. Then also teach morality as well, how to make moral decisions. You know, do you, A, genetically modify, you know, crops to increase the growth and the revenue yield, or do you produce them in such a socially responsible way that's not harmful to the environment and is not harmful to your fellow man? So I teach, you know, young people some of these various things. So it's not just all about, you know, how many servings of fruits and vegetables. It's really about living a holistic, healthy life. So that's why I kind of chose the comic book, and then it's complemented by a social network. And then I believe that young people learn by doing. So once they get through reading the book, they can go on and they can explore their interests, share ideas with experts and their peers. They can, you know, upload videos, they can upload songs, show pictures, all around them doing something healthy. And then the biggest component, which I think has the most appeal, is civic engagement. So now young people can write in, you know, their representatives about, you know, healthy school lunch campaigns, and they can get organized around, you know, different movements and start running clubs. So it's a really, you know, I'm using the comic book kind of a conduit to share my message and my passion with young people, and to get them to think about health in a much different way.
All this in your comic book? Oh my God!
Yes, I've been working on it for 3 years. Yeah, working on it for 3 years. So there's a lot that goes into that. So.
Yes. Now, is this like a 20-page little comic book, or this a little bit more? Because this is a lot. Character, morality, social networking, civil engagement. Please, when I was going through school, we were just the basic four food groups. That's all we had.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, it's only, you know, the first initial one is only 26 pages, but I plan for this to roll out on a monthly basis. And one of the neatest things, as I know we're jumping ahead, is I want to involve the young people in the development of the book. This is a book for young people, and I want it co-developed by young people. So we're going to use 21st century technology, some of these online collaborative tools, for young people to say, hey, we want to talk about bullying in the next issue. Okay, great. Here's some evidence-based websites that I want you to go research and look up. Here's some of the parameters that you need to think about. But tell me all of the information you know already about bullying, the things that you want to know about bullying, and what's some really great ways to relay this information to some of your peers. Get the teachers involved, So they can say, hey, we're teaching young people about reflective reading. We want to know their thoughts. We want them to be able to blog, and we want them to have a discussion database. So not only are they learning from caring adults and teachers and health experts, they're also learning from each other. There's a lot of power with young people learning from young people. I mean, adults have used it for years. Facebook and Twitter are one of the most popular ways that people look for online information. Once again, not of it's all credible, but I want young people, they are already talking to each other. They're already looking for information online. I want to basically facilitate a healthy dialogue and make sure they get incredible information from credentialed professionals and caring adults. So that's why I do that in bringing the healthcare community to be able to have a great dialogue with the young people and not just it be one way, expert driven, and then bring some of the entertainment professionals like comic book, like Marvel and Stan Lee, all these folks that create these great blockbuster movies together to say, hey, you have these really great health messages. Let's give, you know, let's present them in a way that's not hitting them over the head with information, really engages them, still teaches them a message, but really increases comprehension, retention, engagement. And so it's a different way to present health information because typically what I found in my experience is, you know, if you do the traditional learning model where young people are passive learners and where they're not engaged, they're not talking to each other, they're not doing, then I found that sometimes there's a disconnect. This is a kind of a flip model where it's kind of experiential learning, where we're focused on the interests of the learner, we're focused on their needs, their wants, their desires, and speaking them to a language via entertainment and technology that they really understand. So putting the power back in the hands of the young people, so to speak, but at the same time making sure that we facilitate a healthy dialogue in the right way.
Woo, go ahead, Mr. Dietitian. Go ahead, because this is a lot of information. This is a lot of work I can see.
Yes.
When you was talking, I was thinking of this young girl on TV, and she, too, read the comics, and she said all she saw was mostly men, and she said, what about us girls? We had power, too. Yes, we had Wonder Woman, but she said she was in this suit that looked like a mermaid, seeing her arms out. You know, girls could be in an armor suit. So I think she wrote a letter to, I don't know who, comic, but then they made her a suit. And they did a drawing and gave it to her. And she thought, wow, this is great. Somebody really listened. And so did the parents, too, listen, because she was on TV on the Today Show. And hers was, she said, not pink. I don't want pink for girly thing because I am a girl, but I still have power. So this is the right time to really, like you said, to get this comic book out. I can see it in the schools, like you said. I can see it in the churches. I can see it develops into even maybe like plays for the kids to do. Or on social media, there's what they call Go Animated. Go Animated. You can make your own cartoons, characters.
Right.
And I can see the kids developing their own cartoons. And you're right, you got to get kids engaged because when I work between that 9 to 13, I take them into the supermarkets to teach them how to read. But I teach them not only how to develop good nutrition, they read, you know, where the junk food is. So they know how much calories, how much proteins, how much fat, you know, how much sugar. And so when you engage them, again, they learn, they're more likely to really succeed at what you're teaching. That is so good. That is so good, boy. I'm glad I got you on this show. But you involved that civil, you know, engagement, you said, and morality, all that which they need. And so now with this book in your hand, you said you're going to go into the schools. Is it basics for even for English teachers, or is it just the science and physical ed? Are you gearing to the whole sort of like making a curriculum?
You know, I would like for it to, you know, so one is a kind of commercial-ready product, and there will always be like the comic book. But one of the good things about the comic book is you can, you know, tailor the content to meet the needs of, you know, the young people, the teachers, the school system. So we plan to base it on, you know, English lit standards, national health education standards. You know, there'll be some elements in there about physical education, of course. There'll be some things in there related about science. There will be some things related about nutrition. You know, in the first edition, for example, we talk about photosynthesis, you know, and a lot of young people don't know that the beginning of most, you know, of all food sources comes from the sun. And when you really look at, you know, plant life, you know, feeding, you know, animals and plants feeding humans, of course, you know, humans are animals, of course, the highest form of animal. And so when you look at, you know, all of those particular things, you know, young people have a different respect and say, wow, you know, the beginning of life starts with a plant. You know, I should include, and this is why it's important to include more fruits and vegetables in my diet. And so when you look at that, that combines not only nutrition education, but science, and then talking about energy balance, you know, calories in versus calories out, and, you know, what do you do to, you know, burn calories? Of course, you exercise, or, you know, you moderate your portions. And so those are some really, you know, interesting things of where we're going to make sure we call attention to from a curriculum standpoint. So one is just making sure you call out and identify and start with the end in mind. So if you start with the end in mind to really have a commercially viable product that can be turned into an animated series or a movie, but you have all of these components in the design, and it's designed with all the right players at the table, I think you can really do something, because I said sometimes you go on extreme. You know, the comic book professionals come up with a book that they think has health benefits, but they really don't involve the healthcare community or the end target audience. Or, you know, the government or, you know, education developing something that's solely based on standards and not really, you know, speaking to the industry professionals that do gaming and movies and so forth, that know how to take a story and make it, you know, very, very entertaining. So by bringing all of these folks together, I do plan to create a curriculum that's really, really exciting. But the coolest thing is getting young people involved in the design process, which I think is very rarely done, and having them. So I plan to go to different schools all over the world and use these online tools over the internet to get people to help co-develop this magazine. And for years to come, it will be many schools and many young people touched, not only from developing the book, but also reading it and enjoying it as well.
I see that as well. When you get them engaged, especially when you can say get them engaged, it's almost like pages and say, okay, go home tonight and for the next week develop the rest of the story, and that will
right.
get them involved and get them engaged or develop more in this character. And the kids will be excited because then they can draw from it. They can, as you said, add dialogue to it. They can make it into a plot. They can do so much to it, but they also, as you
right.
say, you have them go back to, again, evidence base and get that information. And it's, wow, this really is a very powerful book, and it's, I like it because it's just one product. You know, some people try to sell so many products and still don't sell. This one product can go into, bam, into so many avenues. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable. Now, you said this every month, because that's a lot of work every month. Are you going to have to fix just diabetes? Is this going? I know you said on the others you're also going to have, like, diabetes, teaching them how to accept diabetes. Are you going to have, you have it on bullying? Are you going to have it on other things besides those, or what?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, outside of general health issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, and once again, we want some of the topics to be driven by young people. We may have some things related to the community, because once you brand the characters, we may make special editions for the medical community, for example, to have reading literature to sit there in the patient offices. Because the beautiful thing about it is, if they get exposed to it in the schools and it becomes a really marketable brand, then you can use that influence to do things like have more engaging patient information for young people in the doctor's office that, of course, is evidence-based and comes from, you know, a different perspective. But, you know, once again, we want, you know, kind of the young people to tell us what they want, and then the teachers, you know, speak up, and then the medical community say, great, I saw a book on Pink Panther. You know, Pink Panther was around when I was growing up. It might not be around now, but Pink Panther, you know, really described diabetes. So whether it was a new character to young people and they introduced through this visual storytelling and identifiable, lovable character, or it was something that I could, you know, you remember, because, you know, Pink Panther was this investigating, type thing, always looking for the answer. So I was able to really relate. So there's a couple different ways, and you hit the nail on the head when you say, here's an idea that could have many different outlets versus 1,000 products that each have their own identity. So I want to create this initial identity that serves in so many different ways. It could be fitness equipment. It could be a school playground. It could be, you know, it could come up with, you know, snack products. But all in all, it starts with let's be socially responsible and not just focus on making money. We want to be sustainable. Let's focus on not only health, you know, but we look at health from a holistic standpoint, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually intact. And that's why, I really appreciated being invited on your show because that's what you stand for. And I think we need to treat the whole child. We sometimes focus on this little piece that we think the child needs, and the child often cries out for other areas, and we focus on it one at a time versus bringing the right environment and people together to service the child and look at all of those elements. So that's what the book tries to do. It tries to look at the whole child and reach them in all these areas of their life to make sure that they're a little bit more complete when, as they become adults.
You are preaching tonight. You are preaching tonight. I told you I was excited about this book. I'm excited about this show, my listeners out there, because Eric is really putting it out there. I mean, this one good product is have so many different outlets, so many different avenues for the kids, and it's good because you're thinking of the children, whereas, you, like you say, we go in, we zero in, this is what you should do, this is what you should have, this is how much servings, how much portion, and we forget about the individual. And here you really, I can hear it in you. It's a passion. I can hear you saying, let's not forget about the children. Let's not forget about the children. And it's true. It needs to be child-based, child-focused. Oh, this is so good. This is really, really good. So right now it's on Amazon. Can they get it any other place, your book?
No. So the initial, I tried to keep it simple in the beginning, and so it's only available on Amazon in print and then in the Kindle version as well. And so the free version was available up until Saturday. I just checked, and then they only have a 5-day free promotion window. But once the cycle runs back, hopefully by the end of National Nutrition Month, I can run another free promotion. Yep, so it's available on Amazon exclusively, both through print and Kindle.
All right. So starting today, then, the book goes on sale.
Yep, the book was launched on Amazon right around Christmas. So it's been on sale for a while, but I think last week, the first week of National Nutrition Month, I offered a free promotion. Thought I could extend it, but I can't. So, But it was offered for free up until Saturday. But the Kindle version is $2.99, and then the print version is, depending on discounting, in between like $8 to $9.99.
That's not bad price at all, folks. It's not bad. So really go out there for Kindle. Please pick this up right now. You and your kids sit around and talk about it, read it, talk about it, and then let Eric know how he feels about it. Get engaged. We need to do that. Definitely, definitely, for sure. I'm really I'm proud of you. I'm happy for being them a fellow RD, but I've been in the industry for a long, long time, and this is the first one I've seen. This is really, truly going to be a blessing. Well, we got about 90 seconds, so is there any last words from you about this book or your next project or anything you're going to do?
No, I just, you know, want folks to keep me, in their prayers to make sure that I have the strength and the wisdom to continue doing what I'm doing. And then if they want to follow me on Facebook, you can do so at facebook.com/TheHealthHeroes and on twitter.com @TheHealthHeroes. So both of them have The Health Heroes together. And, of course, if anyone needs to email me, they can do so at Eric@healthheroes.net, and we have the beta site up right now for the social network. Young people can actually register and join, and you can take a look at it and give me some feedback, and that's www.healthheroes.net to complement the comic book.
Repeat that one more time.
Yep, the social network is healthheroes.net, and if you just want to learn more about the characters and so forth, you can go to h-team.com. So h-team.com is for, you know, more about the comic book and the characters, and the social network is healthheroes.net.
Well, thank you, Eric, for coming on this show. I appreciate it. I've learned so much, and so has my listeners. Please back him up, my listeners, because this is going to be a great adventure, a great comic book, and I know you're going to have lots of success to this. Thank you for coming on.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.